Welcome to the Commitment to Excellence podcast. I'm Sean Quimby. I am a licensed clinical social worker with 25 years of experience. I've been working with folks in different capacities for years, and this podcast is the next step in my personal and professional development. I have made a commitment to excellence, to be the best that I can be in anything and everything that I do, and I'm hopeful to help you do that as well. Thanks for joining me today. Last minute change in show plans. I had a plan for today's show, and just before I sat down to record, I was inspired to go in a different direction. So today, we're going to talk about legacy. Legacy is a topic that I had on my list of topics for sure to dig into, but we're going to do it today. I was inspired to do this today for a couple of reasons. It's something certainly I've been thinking a lot about. Sort of referenced it a little bit in the episode a couple of weeks ago where I talked about the 7 habits of highly effective people, because one of the habits is start with the end in mind, and I think ultimately that's what he's talking about, is the end of your own life and your own existence and what that looks like, and then, you know, kind of working back from there. But so today I was flipping through my social media feeds, and I saw in one feature that Bookface has that I like a lot is the memories section. Probably most of you are familiar with the memories feature on Facebook. You go back and look at posts from this day, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, what have you. And I saw 12 years ago today, I posted my grandfather passed away. And that was one of the worst days of my life. He'd been fading for a while. And while I would have loved to have seen him stick around a little longer, it probably was time. He'd watched my grandmother pass away a few years earlier, and he just, you know, like most people, he just wasn't the same after that. He had some health problems, and, you know, he had a pretty good life right up until that point. So it was sad to see him go. I'm not sure I realized it at the time, but looking back on it now, I realize fully that he was one of my best friends. I spent a fair amount of time with him growing up. This is my mom's dad. He lived like less than a mile from us, so we spent a lot of time there, and he had a camp on a pond, and we spent a lot of time there in the summers and in the fall, and I just spent a lot of time with him. We had some similar interests, and for sure, like when I went off to college and grad school, I didn't see him very much, and we didn't do a lot together, but then after that, yeah, I think kids kind of go through that at one point in time. The family that I was close to, my aunt and uncle, who are still around, thankfully, you know, I didn't see them much. And I was kind of doing my own thing growing up and, you know, just figuring out where I wanted to go with my life. And now I've come back to my family and whatnot. And they're all, like, super close, and I'm glad that I did that before it was too late. And I did that with my grandfather, too. We used to go fishing, and you know, we spent a lot of time together, and I'd just go over there in the evenings, and my mom used to take us over there, and we'd just sit and watch Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy with them at night, and man, I still love doing that. I know it probably makes me sound like an old curmudgeon, but I don't care. I don't do it very often because I just don't have the time, but I enjoy sitting down and watching Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. And it comes from that, you know, I used to go over there in the evenings in the summer, like I'd ride my bike over to stay late. I'd sit and watch Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy with my grandparents, and then I'd head home. And they were just really special people to me, and my grandfather in particular. And I don't mean to make light of my relationship with my grandmother. Sometimes I feel like people think that, you know, I didn't appreciate her as much. It's not true at all. The relationship that I had with my grandfather was different. It was just something special about it. And, you know, I certainly hope that he knew that. So 12 years ago today, he passed away. And at this time I started, this was when the first time I started thinking about legacy and what's the meaning of life and what's the point of it all. And for sure, there have been other experiences in my life where I had crossed paths with death and, you know, some really tragic incidents where, you know, anybody that went to high school with me or around the same time I was in high school remembers a couple of really serious car accidents. One in particular where five kids died in that accident, all from different families. And I didn't know any of them particularly well, but I knew their siblings, and I went to it was a pretty tragic time in our town. And, you know, it's events like that that I think cause us to take pause and reflect. But I was in college. Well, I think I was in my sophomore year in college, I think, when that happened. And so I was out of college, out of grad school, when my grandfather passed away. I was working, and, you know, I had both my kids were born, and fortunately my grandfather had met both of them. My daughter was young when he passed away. My son, a little older. My son probably remembers him. My grandmother was younger. So I wanted, and I don't really remember, I asked if I could speak at my grandfather's funeral, memorial service, whatever you want to call it. And it was, you know, my grandfather was Catholic, went to church his whole life. So Catholic services are, I've spent some time around the Catholic Church, but that's not, would not say that I'm a Catholic. But my take on the Catholic religion is they tend to be kind of formal with stuff, and they don't wing it very often, and they don't, you know, they don't ad lib and do impromptu kind of stuff. But I believe I asked. I either asked or my aunt and my mom asked me. I don't really remember, but I suspect I offered my services. That seems like the kind of thing I would do. So I asked if I could speak, and then once I got sort of locked into that, I had to figure out what I want to talk about. And it occurred to me that the thing that made the most sense was talking about my grandfather's, my grandparents, really, their legacy. What was it? Because that's in the end, that's all you got, right? Like, you can be very wealthy when you leave this world, and you don't do much good when you're gone. You can't take anything with, you know, you can have gold bars and stacks of cash and, you know, Lamborghinis and all that. And then that stuff's cool. And I don't begrudge anybody that wants to have that stuff. I'd like to have some gold bars and, you know, some stacks of cash and that kind of thing when I leave. But, you know, I kind of like to enjoy them while I'm here if I had them, right? So you don't leave that stuff. It's great for your kids and your family, and you can leave them that gift that maybe brings some ease of life and lessens some burdens. And, you know, I hope to be able to do that in some way, shape, or form for my kids. But in the end, what matters is what you do while you're here and what you leave behind. And it occurred to me, you know, probably a lot of things that my grandfather left behind, but what I really chose to focus on was his grandkids and that, you know, me, my sister and my cousins. And I thought about all the things that we were doing and where we were in the world. And literally one of my cousins is in Australia on the other side of the world, where he has built his life with his wife. And we're going to talk about him some more, probably in the next episode. I hope he doesn't mind. And I know he listens to this, so heads up, cuz. I'm going to talk about you a little bit. We've done some cool stuff. And we've done some cool stuff. We're all doing our own thing, and we're doing well, and we're making a contribution. And I trace that all back to him. And, you know, I know it goes even further back, but I saw him as the patriarch of the family. He was a leader. When, I don't know that he knew it, I'm not sure that he thought of himself that way at all. And I didn't see, he didn't wield a lot of power and authority, I guess. He was a serious, very serious man. But he could be funny and relax, and, you know, he liked to fish and have a good time. And until when I was young, he liked to tip the bottle pretty aggressively. And I don't, fortunately, I don't remember a lot of that, but my dad has told me some stories and about him rolling over snowmobiles because he was drunk and my dad had to get the snowmobile off him and that kind of thing. There's a part of me that would have found that side of him entertaining, I think. I think I'm glad I didn't really know that man. Because the guy I knew, I liked a lot. I respected a lot. And I don't know. I know he liked his whiskey, which is funny because I still do, I guess, have a little taste for it, but I don't drink much anymore. Not that I ever really drank a lot. Then the science on alcohol is just really bad. We'll probably talk about that sometimes. But, you know, I thought about my cousins and my sister and what we were doing in the world. And I think, although I'm biased, I think I could make the argument that most, if not all of us, either are doing some really cool stuff or have done some cool stuff that is currently or in the past or in the future made an impact on the world. Now, you know, we all have kids, and someday we'll be grandparents. Fortunately, we're not yet, but we will be someday. And that's, you know, I'm always going to trace that back to my grandfather. He's the beginning of that, and we are his legacy. And you know, I don't know what he wanted his legacy to be. I never really asked him, I guess. I wish I had. But we're his legacy as far as I'm concerned. So I gave that talk, and I think it went all right. I got some good feedback from it, and I feel, my hope is that it was a testament to his life and to the man that he was, the man that I saw him to be. I know he wasn't perfect, for sure, but he was to me. He was a special guy. And I'm thankful for the time that I had with him and the friendship that I had with him and, you know, in a lot of ways, the example that he set for us. I mean, he grew up in a rough time, a rough, you know, the Great Depression, World War II. He served in the Army during World War II, and he was in Europe, and, you know, he never talked a whole lot about it, so I don't know. He talked a little bit about it when I was in college, and I was on the, I don't know if I've talked about it, but I was on the U.S. powerlifting team when I was in college, and I went to Europe and competed at world championships, which was a super cool experience, and I'm really proud of that experience and the accomplishments that I made. But anyway, I went to Europe, competed at world championships, and was talking to him about where I was going and when I got back, where I'd been and what it looked like and how, you know, it was cool and all that stuff. And he talked a little bit about his time in Europe because I was in some places that were not far from where he was. I don't recall that I was in any of the places where he was, but I was, that was, but he really didn't talk about like his time in the service so much as he talked about the places he'd been. And my father's father, I had some cool conversations with him about that too, because he too was in Europe at the time. Was never as close to him for a thousand reasons. Not that he was a bad guy, because he wasn't. And I sort of had a soft spot for him, but just we had a different relationship and different family dynamics. And so when I think about legacy, I think of my mom's dad, my Pepe, my grandfather. He was my buddy. And that's who I think about. I think a lot about, you know, the mark he left in the world. I see that as us. You know, I don't know us like my cousins, obviously, my parents and my aunts and uncles. But I don't know. There's something about that grandchild generation, I think. And maybe, you know, for me, it will be that way, too. You know, what are we doing? How are we serving? How are we making our mark in the world? That's something. And, you know, now we're building our legacy. We are his legacy, but we're also building our legacy. And I think a lot about, you know, That the seven habits of highly effective people start with the end in mind. He's talking about projects and short-term kind of goals, but I think it can be expanded to think about long-term stuff too. There are a lot of people who will talk about exercises you can do where sit down and write what you want your obituary, how you want your obituary to read when you leave this world. And while I guess I've never done that, I certainly have thought an awful lot about it, and maybe I should do it. I see the value in doing that. You should define what you want your life to look like when it's done. What are you going to feel like is a success? And work your way backwards and try to live a life that brings you to that place. And I think a lot about that. You know, I think about things like if I've got, you know, a day to live and I'm thinking about how I spent my time, did I use it well? I say that a lot to kids that I work with and even sometimes adults that I work with, things like video games. You ask people that are terminally ill how they use their time, what do they wish they could do more of. I think there are very few people that say play more video games. I think there are very few people that say watch more TV. I suspect there are very few people that say, you know, I wish I'd have eaten more pies, or, you know, I wish I'd have gained 100 pounds, or, you know, those kind of people do not say stuff like that. People say, I wish I spent more time with my family. People say, I wish I'd gone on that trip, or I wish I had taken a little more time off, worked a little bit less, got to know my grandkids, gone to my kids' sporting event. These are the things that people talk about. So I've read, and I have not been in a life-threatening situation, but I've had some health scares, I've had some experiences, I've reflected on things, and I'm never sitting there thinking I wish I'd watch more TV. I'm definitely not thinking I wish I'd play more video games. That's not my jam. I just think a lot about how I use my time, what I'm doing with it. And I do not use it perfectly, but if I didn't think that way, I'd use it even worse than I do now. And I think you can always get better. So thinking about, what do you want that to look like? How do you want people to talk about you when you're gone? You know, like, I hope someone names a softball field after me when I'm gone. I used to wish it was a football field, but I don't care enough about football anymore, and I've essentially done nothing for the sport since I've walked away from it, and I frankly doubt I ever will do much of anything for it. But I'm going to do stuff for some, you know, I'm going to follow my daughter as closely and as carefully as I can, and I will coach I will take a assistant coaching job at a college so that I can stay with her. She doesn't like that, by the way. I joke with her about that. They wouldn't want you. They don't want you. So, but I just told her, I'm gonna ride your coattails. I'm gonna follow you all the way. But when she's done, I think as long as I can move and I can get around, like, I'm gonna keep doing stuff with softball. Like, I just love the game. Maybe I'll umpire. Maybe I'll coach. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'll donate time. I'll rake fields and mow grass. I don't care. I love the game. So I'm gonna stick around. I'm gonna do stuff with it. Maybe they'll name a field after me someday. That would be awesome. You know, other things that I'm going to do, you know, I've shifted my view in terms of my professional life. And I think this has been helpful. I'm sure there are people that are listening to this that would take issue with what I am about to say, but I don't care, because it's how I see it in the end that matters. Hopefully somebody else sees it that way too. I've shifted my focus in a lot of ways, at least in terms of my day-to-day work stuff, from me to other people. And I'm not perfect at it, right? But I care about, you know, I mean, I still probably have another 20 years of working in me or so. You know, maybe Yeah, probably another 20 years, 15, 20 years, something like that, depending on how things go and if I survive that long. I'm thinking a lot about who comes after me. You know, 20 years from now, who's doing the work that I'm doing? Who is filling the void that hopefully I someday leave, right? And hopefully, you know, I don't know who it's going to be. I have a hope who it's going to be, but there'll be somebody to fill my shoes, whether it's who I want it to be or not. It doesn't matter. Somebody's going to fill my shoes. Somebody's going to fill the void in the universe left by me professionally. I hope sincerely that I have had a hand in either helping that person grow to be the person that fills that void, or helping create the environment that, you know, fills that void, providing the education. Like, I really like educating people now. I like teaching. That's one of the reasons I'm doing this podcast. I'm hoping to inspire and teach and generate some interest in things that I'm interested in, things that I think are going to help people be successful. That's kind of what I'm doing here. So, you know, hopefully this podcast will be part of that educational legacy for my field, my profession. And I know it's not about softball, but I sure do seem to talk about it a lot because, well, I love it. You know, hopefully this is something for my family to look at, and, you know, my grandkids will be able to listen to this someday and hear what, you know, Grampy thought about and how he thought about it. And I don't have anything like this from my grandfather. I would give my left arm to have some conversations recorded with my grandfather that I could play back and listen to him talking about what it was like growing up in small town Maine in Madison, and the stories that he would tell once in a while about shuffling moonshine across the town during Prohibition and in a horse-drawn car. That was one story he told me that I thought was just awesome, but I don't know. Maybe it's scary. I don't know. But I remember him telling me about being 12 and riding a horse-drawn carriage across town with a load of illegal alcohol in the back, and they had him do it because they didn't think the police would stop a kid. And I wish I had those stories recorded. So my kids are going to have some of those stories recorded, and my grandkids are going to have them to listen to, and hopefully they get to know me in person. But if they don't, they've got some of this stuff. And, you know, right now here we've got 18 episodes of me going on for anywhere from 20 to 65 minutes so far on different topics. And I've got an episode with my daughter, and, you know, this is all my legacy. But I, you know, thinking about what I want that to look like helps me be the man that I want to be, the person that I want to be. Helps me make decisions. You know, and I'd be lying if I said there are many in-the-moment decisions that I make where I think about, all right, what are people going to say about this when I'm gone? I don't think there aren't many in-the-moment decisions I make. And frankly, if I did, I might make some better decisions, actually, to be honest with you, especially when it comes to social stuff or my reactions to things. But when it comes to big-picture stuff, I think about it a lot. I mean, it was one of the factors that, you know, helped me conjure up the courage to sit down and start recording my voice and my thoughts. And, you know, we need to do some stuff like that. And thinking about what the end is going to look like, what it's all going to be looking like at the end, is a good way to live your life to the fullest. It is a good way to get the most out of the gift of every day that we have. They're not, you know, tomorrow, I know it's corny, but tomorrow's not promised. Like, we might not wake up. If today was your last day, how did you spend it? You know, what did you do with it? Did you sit on the couch all day on Saturday and watch TV? You know, I'm recording this on Saturday. I get up at 4:45. Did some work, did some book keeping stuff, got organized, made my list for the day. Then I went and did a little over three miles on the treadmill. Then I hopped on a Zoom call with a client and did an hour and 10 minutes Zoom call with a client that I think went well and was helpful and productive. Then I got in the car, drove and watched my daughter play a couple of rec league soccer games, won one, lost one. Spent some time with my wife and a friend. Then I went and ran some errands. And then I came back home and had some lunch. Oh, no, scratch that. Then after the soccer games, I went with my wife and my daughter, and we pitched. She did pitching work for, 45, 60 minutes, something like that. Just got a quick workout in. She was super tired, but she worked through it, which, man, I just love that about her. The hard work pays off. Anyway, we did that. Then I came home, got some lunch. My wife and my daughter took off to do a little bit of shopping, left me here alone so that I could do this podcast, get ready, took the dog out. Now I'm recording. That's my day. It's been a good day. Like, I have yet to waste more than a handful of minutes of time in this day. I have been going since 5 o'clock. I know you gotta rest sometimes, but I sleep at night and that's rest. And I try to get at least 7 hours of sleep, 8 on a good night. So I sleep, that's rest. And you know, when the girls get home tonight, we'll sit down and hopefully we'll fire up a softball game. We'll sit and watch softball. We'll have dinner together. That'll be my downtime. And I won't regret that downtime because I'm spending it with my family. But I am trying really hard, unless I'm sick or, hurt. And man, I spent 2 or 3 months just sitting in a chair watching TV when I blew up my neck last year. I don't want to do that. That is not how I want to spend my time. That's not how I want you to spend your time. I want you to think about how you're using your time, how you're living your life. That is literally your legacy, right? That is what you're going to leave behind. What did you do with your life? What did you do with your time while you were here? That's your legacy. And maybe, we will not all be remembered in life. Like, I love that scene in the movie Troy. It's such a great scene. So there, he's getting ready. Achilles is getting ready to go. If you haven't seen the movie, you got to see the movie Troy. Like, it's a good movie. But he's getting ready to ride off into battle. The king has basically volunteered him for one-on-one combat with the greatest warrior on the other side, right? He's getting ready to ride off. There's a boy that came to get him, and the boy is talking to him. He's getting on his horse, and the boy says to Achilles, "Are the stories about you true? They say your mother is an immortal goddess. They say you can't be killed." And Achilles says back, "I wouldn't be bothering with the shield then, would I?" And the boy says, "The Thessalonian you're fighting, he's the biggest man I've ever seen. I wouldn't want to fight him." And Achilles looks at the kid and says, "That's why no one will remember your name." I am not delusional enough to think that people will be talking about me 2,000 years from now. But it'd be kind of cool if people talk about me 20 years after I'm gone. Here it is, 12 years after my grandfather passed away, and I'm still talking about him. And side note, there are some cultures that believe that you're not really dead until the last person speaks your name for the last time. So I will make sure there's a handful of people that have passed in my life that I make a point to, from time to time, speak their name. My grandfather, my grandmother, they are for sure those people. I make sure to say their name. So I'm going to say my grandfather's name here in this podcast, my grandmother's. So my grandfather's name was Norman Arsenault. Very special man to me. So he's going to live on forever in this podcast. But as long as I keep saying his name, he's still around. He's still with me for sure. And he will now be with, you know, generations to come here in this podcast, right? My grandmother, Jeanette Arsenal. Really cool, cool name, Jeanette. Not common anymore. They were both, you know, French-Canadian children of immigrants. Grew up here locally, got married, fell in love. Both amazing. Their wedding picture, they're just the two of the most, like, they're just great-looking people, which clearly must be where I get my looks from, obviously. But great, my grandfather had the most beautiful blue eyes, and my grandmother was a very pretty woman. And they just, they're amazing people. So I am Norman and Jeanette. I am your legacy, and I hope I'm doing right by you. I hope I continue to do right by you. I don't know if this conversation today was helpful to anybody who took the time to listen to this or not, but I want to encourage you to think about your legacy. What do you want the end to look like? And not to be like morbid about it, right? Like, I don't want everybody sitting around thinking about their death all day long, but think about how you want to live. How do you want to be remembered? And then I'm far from perfect. Imagine how much further from perfect I would be if I did not think like this. Thinking like this is powerful, and I love it, and I want to inspire you to do the same. I know that thinking about what I want my legacy to look like makes me a better man, makes me a better father, makes me a better husband. I need to be the best that I can be. I think it will do the same for you. I hope that this conversation in some way made you think about some things. These are some things that I'm thinking about. And in the end, right, like, I'm the one that matters here, but my hope is genuinely that I can inspire some other people to think this way and keep working out my thoughts on this stuff and kind of kicking them around a little bit and refine things a little bit and, you know, write them down. I talk about this stuff in the book that I've written that will someday exist in the world, and that's part of my legacy too, right? What's your legacy? What do you want it to look like? I mean, feel free to, you know, comment in, you know, on the Facebook page or whatever. Do you ever think about legacy? Do you think it's important to think that way? Start with the end in mind and kind of work back from there. I know it's a big, you know, hopefully I've got another, I don't know, 30, 35, maybe 40, if I'm lucky, years left to keep working on it and keep thinking about it. But, you know, time's ticking and tomorrow's not promised. So do you see value in thinking this way? I do. It's good for me. I think that's all I'm going to say for today. Again, as I always say at the end, if you stuck around to the end, I very much appreciate you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for kicking this around with me a little bit. Thanks for letting me remember my grandfather and my grandmother and talk about my family a little bit. They're very special to me, and I appreciate you listening. I hope that if you're listening to this, you are in the process of making today a great day. Thanks for being here with me. Check us out on Instagram, A Commitment to Excellence. There's a Facebook group, A Commitment to Excellence. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever else there is to listen, you know, give us a rating, review, share the show if you don't, you know, on social media. Give us a share. We appreciate you. Ultimately, I appreciate you giving me, if you gave me a slice of your day, I am super appreciative of that. Thanks a bunch. Make today great.